Hello everyone, this is Dr. Sandra Cabot and I'm talking to you today about stomach acid, myths and facts. It's very controversial. Stomach acid is known as hydrochloric acid and I'm going to discuss with our expert naturopath Margaret Jasinska the myths and facts. Hi Margaret.
Hi Dr. Cabot, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, look, we are always getting patients who suffer with symptoms of a dysfunctional stomach. And most of the time, it's reflux, heartburn. They'll say, I've just got too much stomach acid. And most doctors will tell the patient, you've got too much stomach acid. And they'll be prescribed antacid drugs. The most common ones are proton pump inhibitors, which greatly reduce your ability to produce stomach acid. So it is controversial, isn't it, Margaret, whether there's too much stomach acid or not enough stomach acid.
Exactly, that's right. Usually it's actually not enough stomach acid, it's just that the digestion has been disturbed and now the stomach acid is travelling upwards into the esophagus where it shouldn't be. And also the lining of the stomach may be compromised and, you know, the barrier may be compromised, maybe gastritis, maybe Helicobacter pylori, so maybe normal or even below normal levels of stomach acid are causing irritation.
Correct. It's not just as simple as, you know, you've got too much acid. You know, if the lining of the stomach is inflamed, we call that gastritis. And there can be tiny little abrasions, like mini ulcers. And of course, if it's severe, you get a deep ulcer known as a peptic ulcer, which can be life-threatening. A lot of people will get this reflux because the gastroesophageal valve, which is meant to keep the acid in the stomach, is not working properly.
Yes, and see, the stomach needs to get acidic enough for that valve to close properly. If the stomach is not acidic enough, the valve remains lax, and then contents of the stomach can travel upwards.
Yes.
So, you know, people that increase the acidity of their stomach, whether that's with a supplement of betaine hydrochloride or having some apple cider vinegar before a meal, you know, they often find that their reflux or heartburn improves significantly or goes away entirely.
Yeah, so it's kind of counterintuitive. There you are. Mm-hmm. You've been told that you need to take an antacid. Well, that doesn't work, or you're scared of the side effects. So then you read, oh, well, I should take some stomach acid in the form of betaine hydrochloride, or try some apple cider vinegar, and you get an improvement. And that would be because your esophageal valve, which is right at the bottom of the esophagus and on top of the stomach, is started to work properly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
The other thing that can help gastroesophageal reflux is magnesium, because, you know, your stomach and the valve have got a lot of muscle in them, and if you're magnesium deficient, that valve is not going to be as strong.
Yes, that's right, yes. And, you know, the composition of your diet, like what you're eating, for some people, food intolerance can give them reflux or heartburn or bloating or indigestion. So for some people, avoiding gluten and grains in general and dairy products, you know, that can bring about a complete resolution of digestive problems. Some people can have a problem lower down in the small intestine. They can have fermentation happening in their small intestine. So they may have an overgrowth of the wrong bugs in their small intestine. And then when the food reaches there, you know, the microbes ferment it and produce gas. And then the gas can travel upwards into the stomach and put pressure on that lower esophageal valve and cause the contents to come upwards. So, you know, often fixing problems in the small intestine can actually help your stomach. So if there's an overgrowth of bacteria, so small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, which almost always goes along with dysbiosis, so too many of the bad, not enough of the good bugs, you know, if we kill off those bugs, and we can do that with remedies like our BactoClear capsules. They contain natural herbal antimicrobials, so they're very good at killing bacteria and yeast and fungi and candida that might be growing in the small intestine and producing those gases that lead to discomfort. Also, you know, avoiding sugar in your diet, because that will encourage the growth of the wrong microbes.
Yes.
Some people need to go further to a low FODMAP diet, and that can offer, you know, extreme benefits for
yes.
all sorts of digestive
And how
problems.
Long would they need a low FODMAP diet?
Well, you know, generally 4 to 6 weeks to begin with, and then thereafter, you know, we can reintroduce and see how much they can tolerate of FODMAPs and which specific FODMAPs they can tolerate. Maybe they were only sensitive to one or two of them. So the low FODMAP diet is something you can Google, and also we do have some articles on that on
yes.
both of our websites, Cabot Health and Liver Doctor. So FODMAPs are fermentable sugars and fibres and starches that are predominantly in plant foods, but they're also in dairy products. So when we think of high FODMAP foods, they would be things like cauliflower, baked beans, stone fruits, apples. You know, they're things that make some people bloated and gassy.
Yeah,
and
yet
and
you would
burpy.
Think they were healthy foods, wouldn't you?
Yes,
yeah.
But, you know, but if you do really have a digestive problem, try eating a bucket of plums and see what happens to you.
You'll
you might
explode.
Be run into the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, so FODMAPs are things that can really aggravate all sorts of digestive problems. And so those foods that I mentioned are high in FODMAPs, whereas other foods like spinach, lettuce, zucchini, they are low FODMAP. So they don't contain those types of irritating fibres and starches, so they can be a lot more gentle on the digestive system and help people with indigestion, reflux, heartburn.
Yes. Well, you have to experiment, don't you, with your diet if you've got reflux.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to take drugs long term, proton pump inhibitors can have side effects. If you take them every day for years and years and years, they can increase osteoporosis. There is an association with an increased risk of dementia, so that's pretty serious. It's a little bit controversial, but some studies do show that association. And they can cause an overgrowth of unfavourable bacteria in your gut, because stomach acid is a good antiseptic. It keeps your gut clean from bad bugs.
Absolutely. You want a lot of stomach acid.
Mm.
Young people have lots of stomach acid. They get less reflux and indigestion. So,
yeah.
You know, so stomach acid can't be causing it. Also, though, you know, older people, if you're overweight and then, you know, the extra fat is putting pressure on your intestines and stomach and diaphragm, you know, so fat can cause pressure there. So also,
yeah.
You know, losing weight from your torso and abdomen, that alone can reduce reflux and heartburn a lot.
Yes, that's right. You know, some people take Quickies or Gaviscon or Mylanta, and, you know, basically they're just alkalinizing substances, and it's okay to use them from time to time, but they're not treating the cause, whereas the proton pump inhibitors, you know, it's a bit like a bull in a china shop. And we'll just, let's kill the acid. We won't have any acid. But then you're going to lose the protective effects of that acid, which is to keep the bad bugs lower in your gut. So also, you need stomach acid to properly digest and absorb protein.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
You know, older individuals who lose muscle mass and become frail and weak, even if they're eating enough protein, they may not be absorbing it properly because they're on a proton pump inhibitor or other acid suppressing drug.
Mm.
So, you know, the body's going to get weak and frail.
That's right. And their bones will too, because proton pump inhibitors such as SOMAC or Nexium, there's a long list of them, they reduce the absorption of minerals. So there you are, you're not absorbing protein as much, you're not absorbing minerals as well. So your bones could suffer, and that is a known side effect. And they can also reduce your kidney function. So, you know, it's really good to try and use natural therapies, I think, if you've got reflux. And at the very least, you'll be able to reduce the dose of the proton pump inhibitor or not need it every day.
Yes, exactly. That's right. There are some pretty simple strategies that we've discussed that really do work.
Yeah.
And you know, they won't just fix your reflux and heartburn. You know, they'll make you healthier all around because your digestion is better, the health of your small intestine is better.
That's
and,
right.
You know, the long-term side effects of proton pump inhibitors are pretty scary.
They are scary. It would scare me as a patient. So if you're going to take betaine hydrochloride, I recommend you take it just before you eat or in the middle of the meal because
yep.
it does get turned into hydrochloric acid. Don't take it on an empty stomach. You need acid when you eat. It's like you need bile when you eat. And, you know, people who've lost their gallbladder often take an ox bile supplement in the middle of a meal, and that can really help them too. Well, it's the same with the betaine hydrochloride. Take it in the middle of your meal. Some people find if they take a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in the middle of their meal, it really helps their digestion because you need that acid to break down, digest and absorb nutrients.
Mm-hmm,
very,
exactly.
Very important.
Yes.
Now, if you do have an inflamed stomach and small intestine, you know, it might be red and raw and, you know, really sensitive, I highly recommend you take glutamine powder.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So the cells that line your digestive tract, they require large amounts of glutamine in order to keep them healthy, repair, regenerate. You know, the lining of your insides is continually being worn down and has to be replaced by new healthy cells.
Yes.
So they have a high requirement for glutamine.
Mm.
And you know, glutamine is soothing, so it's excellent for giving symptom relief quickly. You know,
yes.
mostly we talk about diet changes. They take a while to kick in. Glutamine will make you feel better fast.
Yes.
So glutamine helps to repair and give symptom relief.
Yes, it does. It heals the gut. And I always say to people, take a teaspoon as soon as you get up in the morning in some water because it works better away from food.
Yep.
And maybe another teaspoon in the middle of the morning and a teaspoon before bed because it will help repair your gut overnight.
Yes, and reduce the risk of reflux, you know, when people are
yeah,
lying down
that's
at
true.
Night without
yeah.
having to prop your bed up.
Yeah, that's right. The good old electric bed, that's a good thing, which tilts your head up a bit. But, yeah, take a teaspoon of glutamine before you go to sleep because it will help your gut overnight and it actually can help sleep as well. It's good for the brain. So, yeah, do you have too much stomach acid? Well, maybe you haven't got enough. You know, it's not black and white. You can have a test from a gastroenterologist to see if you do have underproduction of stomach acid, but it's not commonly done.
No, and these strategies, you know, are simple and pretty easy to implement. So
yes.
we may as well start here, and if these strategies don't help, then definitely see your healthcare practitioner to find out what
yeah.
else could be going on.
Well, it might take 3 or 4 months, you know, if you quit so much carbohydrates, stop eating sugar, start taking betaine hydrochloride, glutamine, some magnesium, you know, it might gradually improve over 3 or 4 months. So it's not going to work in one day.
Yes, exactly.
That's right. But it's worth it. Natural medicine is worth it. So if you have any questions, just email us. We love to get your emails. And thank you, Margaret, for your insights.
Pleasure. Thank you for tuning in.
Bye.